The beloved disciple, disciples loved by the Lord. It's good again to be here with you, beloved disciples whom Jesus loves, and to ponder and reflect upon his love for us and thereby allow that realization to help us respond to him as his beloved disciples. We've pondered what it is to be a beloved disciple and the realization that we are all disciples whom Jesus loves infinitely, greatly, as if we were the only person on earth. We're the number one person in his heart. Every person is. And the fact that every day then, just that realization should be our first thought in the morning, and that we should search for Jesus. You remember me looking for him under my covers, my beautiful, wonderful bed set. But, you know, we're searching for Jesus first thing in the morning, and they, as the apostles were, and he asks, "What are you searching for?" And they say, "Where do you live? Where do you remain? Where do you abide?" And he says, "Come and see." And so each day, we need to search for him, come and see, remain with him, abide with him, dwell in his sacred heart, remain, manain with Jesus. And right now we're going to reflect on a very important virtue of a beloved disciple, and it no longer becomes a burden, but it's the whole concept of obedience. You know, as brothers, as religious, as the Pink Sisters, as the Carmelites do, as all the different religious that you know, they take vows of obedience. And that sounds kind of heavy, and it kind of sounds sometimes almost negative. But once you're a beloved disciple of Jesus, it's not something negative. It's an actual kind of automatic response to the one you love so much. In today's gospel, Jesus says he sees Levi, Matthew. He sees Matthew, St. Matthew, he's also known as Levi, sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything behind, he got up and followed Jesus. This is the response of a beloved disciple. This Matthew eventually got it too, and would give his life for Christ all the rest of the days of his life. I will read to you another response of obedience that St. John records in his gospel, and he's the only one that records this story. It's not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it deals with this response of obedience, of being a beloved disciple. It's chapter 2 of John's gospel. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and the disciples began to believe in him. Obedience is not easy. It is actually very difficult. Obedience in today's world is as countercultural as many things you see on TV today. Yet the only way to be a good, holy, and sacrificing disciple of Jesus is through obedience. Jesus was obedient to the Father even unto death. Like Jesus, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. And this gives total meaning to our daily prayer, sacrifices, and fasting. St. John records this story very carefully in his gospel, and I think he's moved especially by the example of Mary, who was the perfect, obedient, beloved disciple of Jesus. It seems that instinctively, Mary turned to Jesus whenever something went wrong. She knew her son. She knew his love. It was not till he was 30 years old that Jesus left home. And all those years, Mary lived one with Jesus. There is an old legend which tells of the days when Jesus was a little baby in the home in Nazareth. It tells how in those days when people felt tired and worried or hot and bothered and upset, they would say, "Let us go and look at Mary's child." And they would go to that house and look at Jesus. And somehow, the legend says, all their troubles went away. Or maybe they were just forgotten in gazing upon this child of love. The same is for us. Those who know Jesus intimately, those who are beloved disciples of Jesus, instinctively turn to him when things are challenging or when things are going wrong. And we always find him fulfilling. He is all we really need. Even when Mary did not understand what Jesus was going to do, even when it seemed that he had refused her request, Mary still believed in him so much that she turned to the servants and told them to do whatever Jesus told them to do, to be obedient. She, the totally obedient, beloved disciple of Jesus, was helping others to be beloved disciples by responding with total obedience. Mary had the faith of a beloved disciple. She impressed St. John the Evangelist greatly, and he records some of the most beautiful stories we have of Mary. She trusted even when she did not fully understand, and she knew that true faith is lived out in total obedience, even when we don't understand. Perhaps she did not know exactly what Jesus was going to do, but she was absolutely sure that he would do the right thing, the best thing. She trusted, she knew. She left it all in the hands of Jesus. You know, sometimes we like to take over. We like to take a hold of the steering wheel or the reins and be in control. We oftentimes want to do that, to kind of fix things and put things right because we know how they could be or should be. And we can imagine that Mary, above all human beings, could have taken over and made sure the problem was solved. More than any of us, she would know best how to solve things. But she didn't do that. Mary, faith-filled, trusting, obedient Mary, the perfect beloved disciple of Jesus, left it all in his hands. Trust, obedience. For her, it was now his problem. We make so many things our problem. But it's really all his, it's his creation. He made this world. Really, it's all his problem. All we can do is lift it up to him and Let it go. Put it in his hands. And that's what she did. This problem was now his problem. All she needed to do was worry about doing her job. And her job and the job of everyone else gathered around was simply to obey him. In every life comes periods of darkness when we do not see the way. We are not quite sure what is happening in our lives. We all experience things entering our lives which are of such a nature that we do not see why they came, or perhaps we cannot perceive any meaning in them. The true disciple trusts and obeys even when he or she cannot understand. We just put it in his hands. We obey him. What is very interesting in this passage, and that what must have impressed St. John the Evangelist too, so he so carefully records the details of this story, but what's very interesting in this passage is that we have another example of holy obedience besides Mary's obedience. And that is the example of Jesus himself. In answer to Mary, Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come." And St. John carefully records Christ's words about that all through the gospel when Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come." We see it when Jesus, in John chapter 7, it's the hour of his emergence as the Messiah. Sometimes it's "my hour has come" or "my hour has not yet come." There are times when it's not yet time, and he knows out of obedience to his Father. But in John chapter 7, it is the hour of his emergence, the time, the hour of his emergence as the Messiah. In John chapter 12 and John 17, it is the hour of his crucifixion and death. His hour has come. It's time for him to be killed. Out of obedience, he goes through it. All through his life, Jesus knew that he had come into this world for the definite purpose and the definite task of redeeming mankind. He saw his life not in terms of his wishes, but in terms of his Father's will. All through his life, he went steadily towards that hour for which he knew he had come into the world. It is the same for us, for the disciples of Jesus. We have come into this world to fulfill a purpose, to do the will of the Father. And to God, our task or purpose is extremely important and precious. Without our individual part, something of his awesome creation is sadly incomplete. Therefore, we too must think not of our own wishes and our desires, but of the purpose for which God sent us into the world. We must obey in imitation of Jesus and Mary, the beloved disciple obeys. St. John the Evangelist is totally taken by the loving obedience of Jesus and Mary. He records the story extremely carefully, and the many times Christ talks about my hour, my hour, my hour. It's a time set by the Father, not him. It's the Father's will, not his will. Therefore, it is a life of obedience out of love for the Father. And Mary displays this as well. Do whatever he tells you. One final message about being an obedient beloved disciple. By being an obedient beloved disciple, we find that it bears much fruit. What in the gospel passage we heard is the result of being obedient disciples? Well, there were 6 water jars, each held between 20 and 30 gallons of water. Jesus turned the water into wine. because of the obedience of Mary and the servants who filled them. That would give somewhere up to 180 gallons of wine. And this fact, again, is carefully recorded by St. John. What St. John wants us to realize is that when the grace of Jesus comes to people, there is more than enough and much more to spare for all. The point is this: no wedding party on earth could drink 180 gallons of wine. Thereby, no need on earth can exhaust the grace of Christ. There is a glorious superabundance of it, and that superabundance of grace is ours if we but trust, obey, and remain with Him as the beloved disciples of Jesus. Jesus looked at Levi at the customs post in today's Mass Gospel and said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. He was obedient. The graces that came from that apostle following Jesus are beyond comprehension. The rest of his days, he followed as a beloved disciple of Jesus, as St. John did, as Mary did. And through all those holy lives, an amazing amount of good came. A great amount, a superabundance of fruit came, like those jugs of wine symbolize. We too have been called by the beloved Savior to be the beloved disciples of Jesus. If we respond, if we follow Him, if we obey Him, an amazing amount of grace and fruit will be the result.